in. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. You may be seated. Thank you, Sherry. We go back to Luke chapter 2, which Brother Parks read to us. Luke chapter 2. I read verses 8 through 11 again. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is the season when everyone, most everyone throughout the world even, is forced to think about the birth of a child years ago named Jesus. Most people don't know him. But there was a time when I didn't either. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And this thing wasn't done in a corner. Even his birth was heralded by angels. Hark, the herald angels. God put a star in the sky. It's hard to miss a bright star, isn't it? You look out there at nighttime and see some of the larger planets shining brightly over and above the rest. Oh, God put a star. And most people didn't see it. They just thought, well, it's a star. But it was shining upon and announcing the Lord Jesus Christ, His coming. And they still do the same. The stars in heaven still do that, though men don't see it. There's a bright and morning star. There's a much brighter star that God put in the sky now, every day, day after day, under the speak, night under night, knowledge, saying, Behold your King. And I didn't see. I was blind, like so many others. But there were some fellows who did see it. Many, many signs that were given to announce, to foretell the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He came, just like God said, in the fullness of time. At the exact time when He said, had men been looking, they would have clearly seen. But they weren't. None that seeketh after God, the Scripture said. God has to reveal Him to us. Came to His own, and even His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, as many as received Him, like these shepherds, to them, what a receipt, huh? What grace to receive Him. All right, here's the point I first want to make about this time, this season, what's going on here at this time. Most do not know who that child was. Most do not know why He came. But He did. And it's impossible for anyone right now to ignore it. And for that reason, I'm glad. For that reason. What He did, they don't know. Where He is now, they don't know. They don't believe that. But many in here who were just like that, God revealed Himself to you. And by His sovereign, electing, redeeming grace, you now know who He is, and you come to worship Him. You come to rejoice in Him. And, you know, we can't let religion, with all its superstitions and all its sentimentality and all of its pagan traditions and so forth, can't let them keep us from worshiping our Lord and rejoicing in God sending His Son. I rejoice that God sent His Son to be born unto us. These angels announced something glorious. These angels were shouting from the heavens, "Glory to God! Unto you is born this day." You know, somebody needs to shout that. Somebody needs to shout that. Men don't do it. Some, you know, pretend to, but we can't let people, though they're hypocritical and though they don't know Him and so forth, and though all these traditions and superstitions are involved and sentimentality, we're not going to let them keep us from worshiping our Lord and rejoicing in God sending His Son. Thank God He was born. Thank God He was born. Thank God He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Thank God He was made flesh that He might be made sin. That's why He was made flesh. We see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. That's why. Thank God He was made of a woman. Why? Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. That's why. And, you know, there's an old saying, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Meaning, though all of this stuff is involved, we're not going to let them keep us from rejoicing that unto us a child was born. The Son was given. We call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We don't still think of Him as a baby. In fact, we never did. We never did. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing? Can you think of anything more wonderful than God being manifest in the flesh? God taking upon Him human flesh? God walking among us? He had to be born. But why? Why was He made flesh? Why did He come here to be born of a woman made under law? To die. He came to die. Oh, yes, He came to live. Brother Sammy prayed that. Thank you for coming and living and establishing that righteousness. Thank you. He had to be born to do that, didn't He? But if He hadn't died, He wouldn't mean a thing. He died. We celebrate, we commemorate, we worship Him more than anything for His death. Christ and Him crucified. In fact, our Lord told us to do two things that remember that. Two things that we use. Two symbols. The only symbols that our Lord told us to use. The only symbolic things we are given to remember Him by. And it was baptism and the Lord's table. Both of which tell of Christ crucified. Baptism. That we are buried with Him in baptism. And rise with Him to walk in newness of life. And ascended with Him to be seated with Him in the right hand, at the right hand of God. The Lord's table. This is My body which is broken for you. This is My blood which was shed for the remission of your sin. Christ crucified. This is what He told us to do. And this is God's greatest glory. It's glorious. I can't think of an adjective. Amazing that God was, God became a child. Isn't it? It's amazing. And, but that's not how we ever think of Him. And again, that religion loves to think about Jesus, the baby, because He's vulnerable to them. He's in their hands. That's the way they always like to think of Him. And they worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship the womb and not the one who was put there. They worship Mary and not Mary's Lord, not Mary's Father. They call her the Mother of God. No, oh no, oh no, no, no. She's a borrowed womb. She's a woman whom the Lord chose to for His Son to be born of flesh. Now we worship Him. But it's amazing. It's amazing that the angel said that holy thing. And the shepherds, they heard it. They wondered at those things. Oh my. Here's some questions. Should we celebrate His birth? Should we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth? No, it's not commanded. Nowhere in the Scriptures will you find it. Nowhere is it found in the Scriptures that the early church commemorated or celebrated His birth on this earth. But they do celebrate every time they come to the table the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is commanded. This do, He said. This do in remembrance of me. This day. And someday we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be forever. We're going to be remembering Him in that way. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to eternity future. We're going to be celebrating His death for us. But we're thankful. We're thankful for His birth. We rejoice in His birth. When was He born? Was He born December 25th? No, He wasn't even close. You have that article in the bulletin that tells us that it clearly was not born on that day. And there's a reason why the Lord did not clearly tell us the day. Why? Because people will worship a day like they do now, don't they? Huh? That's why we don't know when He's coming. That's why no one knows except Him. We don't worship a day. Worship Him. Worship Him. Well, is Christmas wrong? Is Christmas wrong? Well, the name is real bad. Christ Mass. It has Roman Catholic origins. Very pagan, heathen origins. Christ Mass. I hate the name. Generally, when I sign letters, if I want to say something about it, I use Xmas. The sentimentality around it, the way people get all sentimental about baby Jesus and his mother and so on and so forth, and all that goes on, all the pagan tradition and so forth, the manger scene and all of that stuff, the idolatry, that's bad. It's bad. It really is. The commercialism of this time is bad. Jesus is not the reason for this season. Money is. I mean, it really is. You know that, don't you? That's what it's all about. The commercialism of it is bad. And what about a tree? What about a tree? I used to feel pretty strongly about that. I read Jeremiah 10 when I was just a young believer, not having a clue what it meant. I read it again this morning, and I thought, I didn't have a clue what that meant. It's saying the same thing as Psalm 115 and Psalm 135 about idolatry, about graven images that people carve out of a tree and worship it and carry it around, give it names like Esther and Ashtoreth and Baal and Nebo. And he said there in Jeremiah 10, it's just an idol. Our God's in the heavens, and so forth. If I see anybody carrying around a pine tree, I'll address it. If I see any of you on your knees before that tree, we'll have to address that, won't we? Huh? But that's not the issue, is it? I used to make it one. You need to be careful what we make an issue if it's not the issue. Now, if you see somebody wearing around their neck another tree, a cross of wood. That's the issue. Isn't it? Make that an issue. Say that tree is an idol right there. We don't worship the cross He hung on. We worship the one who hung there. Okay? All you'll do if you make these things issues that are not issue is make people hate you. You'll be a Scrooge, all right. Raise your Ebenezer, but don't be a Scrooge. Okay? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that that's the only thing people know about Ebenezer? Merry Christmas. Well, fine. Wonderful. Yes, merry to you too. But that's not the issue, is it? That's not the issue. What the world does with Christmas is bad. But what they do with this Bible and everything in it year round, every single Sunday, is bad. What are we going to do? Throw it away? They abuse this scripture. They twist it and corrupt it. Everything they say is wrong. Most everything. There's some truth mingled with a lot of error. What are we going to do? Throw it away? No. I say we use it. I say we'll be wise as serpents and harmless as death. Crafty. Paul said, I took you in craftiness. He went to Mars Hill that time. Remember? He went to Mars Hill and he looked all around him and saw all these idols. And he could have started addressing every one of those idols. But he didn't, did he? Well, he didn't. He said, I beheld a statue right over here that said to the unknown God, Him I declare unto you. And he started preaching Christ. Start preaching Christ. Dad used to say, if you want to point out a crooked stick, just lay down a straight one right beside it. Got to describe the crooked stick too long. Just Christ said, if I be lifted up, all these idols will fall to the side. They'll quit worshiping things. If they behold Christ's glory, they'll quit worshiping Mary. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, yes, they will. In God's good purpose, I was made to realize this, finally, I believe. In God's good purpose, the world right now is forced. Everybody, at least once a year, and at Easter, which, by the way, is a biblical word, isn't it? Easter. At any rate, and bunnies and eggs, I don't know where that... I like eggs and I like bunnies. But that's not the issue, is it? Let's talk about the one who arose. Where he is now, what does that mean? But back to this, Christmas. God in His purpose at one time of the year forces the world over, even those that don't want to think about it. They're forced to think about it. Somebody came. Isn't that good? That's good. I'm glad that somebody was born 2,000 years ago and His name was Jesus. And they say He was born of a virgin. I don't believe that, but that's what the story says. And people are forced to deal with that. And I'm glad. That one that came years ago, you know, you don't have to fight a myth, do you? Myth. We're not standing up dealing with Zeus or all these fellows, but people are still forced to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ some 2,000 years later, and they can't get away from it. Why? Because He lives. That's why. And He won't let it. He said, I am He that was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. And you, every single person on earth, is going to be forced to deal with it. That's good. That's good. And they even sing. People who never sing a hymn, who never sing anything about God, about Jesus Christ, they get together in these little groups around pianos and it all feels good and has a festive spirit, holiday spirit, and they're drinking eggnog, lace spikes, you know. And so they start singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And their own mouths are condemning them. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. What'd you say? They're forced. You see that? You see this? God is not mocked. He's mocking them. He's mocking them. Like He stood before Pilate that time. Pilate said, Are you a king? He said, Thou sayest. See the wisdom of our Lord? The greatness of our God? Oh, my. And there's nobody, probably no one going to, we sang these hymns. Oh, my. And you almost want to put them aside because the world sings them at this time and makes, you know, tradition out of them and so forth. But, oh, my, did you hear the words? Oh, hail, the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he bring, risen with healing in his wing. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Glorious. Glorious. We're going to sing an old hymn in a little while. It's one of the most popular. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. I taught you some Latin one other time. Dictum factum. Dictum factum. Said, done. That's what we studied in Genesis 21. Wasn't it? Said, dictum factum. Teach you one more lesson. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. That's what that means. What's wrong with that? Oh my. Let them say it in every language. They're doing it in Spanish. There's some doing it in French. There's some doing it in Portuguese. They're doing it all over the world right now in every language. Let them do it. I say do it. They're ringing bells. Ring them! They're shining lights. Somebody needs to. No. But we need to take the word. This is the job of the true preacher. To define the truth. The true preacher tells men why he came, who that was that came, why he came, what he did, who he did it for, and did he do it. That's what the true preacher does. Different from all the rest. Get rid of all the wood, hay, and stubble, and get to the pearl of great price, the gold and the silver and the precious stones of why Christ came. Why did he come? Start here. Who came? Who came? Call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. God was manifested in flesh. Well, why did he come? Call his name Jesus, a man. Jesus, named Jesus, but it means Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Not try to save. Not try to save everybody. Not make an attempt to save. Make an atonement for his people, his particular people. Did he do it? Glory to God in the highest. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Where is he now? Seated in the heavens, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Sending his Holy Spirit, who's sovereign, rounding up every single one God chose, gave to him in a covenant, and whom Christ died for and paid for their sin. Sending his Holy Spirit through the preaching of this word, this gospel, and it won't return void. He'll bring them all in. All the children that the Lord gave him, and to bring them all to glory. Bring them all to faith, all to repentance, all to love Christ, all to bow at his feet, and all to be seated with him in the heavens someday, to the praise of the glory of his sovereign redeeming grace. Yes, sir. That's who came. That's why he came. That's who he came for. That's what he did, and that's where he is now. Now, there's probably nobody going to hear and believe through these songs and all that, but I heard them this morning. And I looked at a few of you as we were singing it. Got to those verses and you were smiling. It was worth it, wasn't it? I'm glad Brother Charles Wesley wrote it. I'm glad. And I rejoice in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I rejoice in a little goodwill every now and then. There's too much bad going around. This time of year, you ladies, I know, you have a lot to do and kind of makes you, you know, grumpy, but it makes me feel pretty good. Makes me feel pretty good. All the smiles and gifts and all that. You got a problem with these gifts? Bring them to me. I'll dispense of them. Okay, yours? You got a problem with them? I'll do away with them for you. Workers, you know, you workers get a bonus. Isn't that good? That's good. Get time off. 24 hours, but it is time off. I like that. It's all good, isn't it? People that normally wouldn't give you the time of day may smile at you. But that's a good thing, isn't it? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing. So, and I we need to be like Spurgeon, that man. Lord blessed him, gave him wisdom. He said, at a time when people are thinking about something, deal with it. At a time when people are forced to think about it, deal with it. And the job of the true preacher and the witness is to declare the truth in the midst of all this mess. Rightly divide the word of truth. Define the truth. Well, go to our text and just briefly look at these verses in closing. Verse 10. The angel said to these shepherds, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good. This is good news. Oh, my. Good news that ought to give great joy. Paul said it's worthy of all acceptation. Why don't all people hear this? Why doesn't it give all people great joy that Christ came into the world to save sinners, even the chief? Isn't that good news? It can only be one reason. Why? They're not sinners, are they? Oh, what a wonderful thing to be made to know that you're a sinner. And hear the good news that Christ came into the world to save sinners. You can't save yourself. Oh, my. That one of those hymns says, talked about, we're not there by our merits, but by the merits of Christ. That was so good. First time I'd ever seen that. What good news. What a glorious thing. Gives me great joy. Gives sinners great joy that Christ came into the world to save sinners. To all people, Jew and Gentile. Verse 11, he said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Unto who? Who were they talking to? These angels were the ones which they were men. And these angels were the one that were telling it to who? Shepherds. Lowly shepherds. Nobody's from nowhere. Who gives shepherds a thought? Who would think on shepherds up there on the hill at nighttime? Lonely fellas, just plain old ordinary fellas, probably smelled like sheep. Ragged fellas all night sitting on that hill watching sheep. These are nobodies from nowhere. Who would think on such a one? God did. This is who He sends the gospel to. This is who He sends the good news to. Unto you. That's why they shepherd us. Oh, why would He visit us? Why would He tell us? Because you'll appreciate it. The lowly. You see your calling, brother? You see your calling? God calls nobodies and nothings from nowhere. Because they'll esteem Christ highly. They'll give Him all the glory. Sinners, unto you. Unto you. Oh my, they were sitting on the hill one day, watching those sheep one night, and it says, lo, verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Sounds just like Jacob, doesn't it? Yes, it's the same. Same Lord. Same gospel. Same thing happened. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That sounds like Saul of Tarsus, doesn't it? That's what happened to me. And they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. When God shows you who He really is, light, just, holy. When God shows you Christ in all His glory, you'll first fear Him. And then you'll hear, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings." Great joy. And then they said to Him in verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." City of David. Paul wrote Romans, and the Lord had him write Romans. Said he's declared to be the Son of God by the prophets. I don't want to misquote it. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. The city of David. Where is that? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. There's a reason He was born there. Bethlehem. People don't know that. They need to know. I was at someone's house the other day, and a man was there visiting, and he found out I was a preacher. Oh, I hate that. But he did. And he said, I've been to Israel 6 times. I said, well, wonderful. Been to Bethlehem. Why? Why go there? We don't worship a city. We don't go there to find something meaningful and something spiritual or whatever. We don't go to his tomb. It's empty. The Lord said, don't come here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't come here. That's not a holy land over there. No, no, no. We don't go over there. But there's a reason why the Lord chose Bethlehem. Because he said so. Number one. Micah 5:2. Thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. This is one of the this is where the tribe of Judah lived. Jacob said, the line of the tribe of Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till who? Shiloh come, the Prince of Peace. Judah. Bethlehem. Listen, in Bethlehem, Rachel gave birth to Benjamin. In Bethlehem. His name means the son of the right hand. Christ, that's exactly what God calls him. The Father's right hand. In Bethlehem, Ruth met Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. That's where he came. In Bethlehem, David was born. Chosen of God to be king over Israel. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Lo and behold, Christ our manna was born there. Huh? Bethlehem, the scripture says, is little among the thousands of Judah. And that's to whom Christ came. Little ones. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. You see why he had to be born in Bethlehem? But we don't need it anymore. Do we? We don't need it. We don't worship Bethlehem. Don't go there. Don't go there. I mean, if you want to, fine. Fine. Let me be honest with you. I wouldn't mind seeing those places. But don't go there expecting a feeling. Don't do that. That's making an idol out of the place. Now, we don't worship Bethlehem. We worship Him who's born there. We don't need to see Bethlehem. We need to see Him who was born there. Now, here's the gospel. In the city of David, a Savior. That's who came. A Savior. A Savior. The only Savior. The only way, truth, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior from sin, a Savior from bondage, a Savior from the God of this world, a Savior from death, Christ our Messiah, Christ our covenant head, Christ our mediator, Christ our advocate, Christ our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords, reigning and ruling over all flesh, over all principalities and power, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news, He's here. He came, He left, He's seated, He's coming again. Great news, great joy to all people. All people. Here's a sign, they said. You'll find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Said that twice, and they came and found it just as they said, swaddling clothes. What on earth does his clothes he's wearing have to do with identifying him as Christ? Let me ask you that again. What the clothes that he wears have anything to do with him being the Christ? He has everything to do with him being the Christ. The clothes he wears are the clothes I wear. The robe that he had that they were so careful not to rend that he was wearing on Calvary's cross is the robe I now wear. Seamless from top to bottom. The swaddling clothes are warming clothes, covering clothes, a nurturing clothes. You're all wrapped up and just swaddled. Oh, Lord, clothe me in thy righteousness. Let Jesus Christ be my swaddling clothes. Manger. What's in a manger? What is a manger? Well, that's where cattle feed. It's food for cattle. That's where the cattle will go to find their food. That's me. That's where I find my food, in Him, Christ. And He's in a manger. They said, you'll find Him in a manger. He wasn't found in a palace. He wasn't found in the temple. He wasn't found in Jerusalem. Lo and behold, He's found down there in that little lowly town called Bethlehem, outside the camp, in a barn, in a manger with the lowest of the low, nothing but sheep gathered around Him. Praise be to God. That's where you'll find Him now. You won't find Him in modern religion. You won't find Him in these big cathedrals. Lots going on in His name, but He's not there. I'll tell you where you'll find Him. Go out on the hillside somewhere and find a bunch of lowly nobodies, and you'll find Christ right there in their midst. Among the low. Among the low. And they said, and suddenly, and I quit. Verse 13 and 14, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God for sending His Son, for the Lamb that was slain, for His Son who was born of a virgin, lived as our representative, went to Calvary's tree as our substitute, rose from the grave, died and rose again for our justification, is now seated and is coming again. Glory to God. In the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. There's not peace on earth, is there? Is there? There wasn't then. Our Lord said there are going to be wars and rumors of war. And people say peace, peace, when there is no peace. There never will be peace among people on this earth. What He was saying, what they were saying was, God sent His Son, the propitiation of our peace. The propitiation of God's peace. The chastisement of their peace was to be laid upon Him. That He is our peace. The peace of God's people. These shepherds whom He came to, the angel came to announce who Christ was and why He came and who He did it for and what He did, said to them, He has come to be your peace, to make peace with God for you. Yes, the peace of God is now on earth in the body of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is your peace. And He is my peace. And the only peace that anybody will ever have among themselves is when God breaks down that partition, that wall in us, and creates in two enemies, reconciles us to God. That's the only way we're going to have peace. Goodwill toward man, that doesn't say that, but toward men. And God, bless the Lord, He hath made known unto us the mystery of His will. His sovereign will. God will have mercy. On who? Whom He will have mercy. And He said to these shepherds and a people of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue, as many as receive Him, it's God's will for you to know Him, see Him, to worship Him. Aren't you thankful that He chose you? Glory to God in the highest. Let's sing that. Number 89. Hymn number 89. Let's stand as we sing. Number 89. Stand with me.